T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
This segment is being brought to you by Denny's. Denny's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Order your favorites from Denny's at Denny's.com. Pick it up or have Denny's favorites delivered right to your door with free delivery. You're hungry? Denny's delivers for free. Order now at Denny's.com. I'm Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock. We had a very busy first hour of the show, and I think that there was a lot to learn, and thanks to Brad and Nicole, who are our guests in the first hour of the show. Pat McGann, who's a great comedian here around Chicago, is going to join me around 1:30. But for now, earlier this week, we were having a conversation about Charles Tillman. Like, we were talking about how he changed football and how hopefully what happens when it comes time for him to be nominated for the Hall of Fame, that change gets taken into account. How now whenever you see someone punch the ball out, you immediately talk about Charles Tillman, that he's played a role in that, and that it was one of those things where people didn't get hip to what he was doing till late in his career. Played 13 years and didn't go to a Pro Bowl until he was 10 years in, which is crazy for all of us that watched him play. Last night, I was listening back to a conversation that I had with Charles, and I thought that it'd be fun to listen to it because he's a ball of energy, number one. And it sounds good because he was in studio, number two. And there's a lot in here that I think that you will enjoy. So it's one of those where you can just kind of sit back, relax, and strap it down to type segments. But I think you'll dig this. And this is before last season started. But our conversation starts with Charles, with him talking about why he thinks Eddie Jackson is going to break his touchdown record for the Bears.
Instincts of where the ball is going to be. That's what made Mike Brown so good. He was just always around the ball. And I think he has a knack of just knowing where to be, how to read the quarterback, how to break downhill. He covers a lot of ground. And I think more importantly is when the ball's in his hand, he's not, to him, an interception, it's not good enough. No, we have to score. I would have loved to have played with him in my heyday, because he has the same mentality that Coach Smith, Coach Rivera, Coach Babbage, Coach Wilkes, he has that same mentality that those coaches used to preach. Yo, it's not good enough just to get the interception. We're going to raise the bar. We're going to raise the ante. We have to score. And that was kind of what we did. And it was, yo, we got the pick. No. And if you watch the film when we played, it was you'd be running to the ball, and then we get the pick, and then all of a sudden you would see everybody turn into like an offensive lineman and start blocking. And I think with Eddie Jackson, I don't think he need the DBs, because he's a shifty defensive guy, and you know he can bob in and out and weave in and out, and you know he knows how to read. He reads his block fairly well. So yeah, I see him breaking my record.
I see him breaking it too. I didn't think that he'd get there this quick, but yeah, he's.
I see him breaking it, and I don't. I'm not for one to talk about stats when guys are super young, and I don't like to jinx it. I was a guy who just I liked it to happen. So I'm just saying, I think he has the potential to do it, and I think records are made to be broken. So hey, I tip my hat to him if he gets it.
I've noticed in watching some of the practices under Matt Nagy that they're starting to do the stuff that you guys used to do. And it had fallen off. Like under Tressman and under Fox, The incomplete passes were just kind of incomplete passes. Mm-hmm. And now under Nagy, the defensive guys are kind of back to pick the ball up. It doesn't matter that it was incomplete. Start thinking about what you would do if you had the ball for your group, for that core.
But is that Nagy or is that Chuck?
Well, it was probably Vic before, and okay. I'm sure okay. It's Chuck now.
Yeah,
because they led the league in takeaways last year with 36 mm-hmm. last year. But I like that. Like yeah. I'm used to it. Like it didn't make sense to me at the time, and mm-hmm. I talked with Lovey about this last year. That when I was covering the team and we started seeing you guys in practice doing, I'm like, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? And then we'd see in games, oh, that's why they're doing that. Oh, okay. Now I get it. I totally right. get it. And it just, when I didn't see it under the Tressman and Fox regime and you saw the takeaways and the touchdowns defensively go mm-hmm. away, it was refreshing to see it now be back at Bears practices and defensive guys talking about scoring instead of, well, we want to get the ball back for the offense. No, no, no. We want to get the ball back for them. Great. We want to stop the other team. But if we've got it, we want to score now.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's the mindset. And that's what separates the good defenses with the great defenses, you know, the mediocre defenses. That's what sets those guys apart. And it's a mindset of all 11 guys doing one thing, not one guy doing 11 things. You know what I'm saying? It's that's what you need to have a great defense. You know, if one guy's wrong, well dang, we all going to be wrong. And that was one of the things that, you know, sometimes, you know, and it was rare, but Brian might call the wrong defense, but if he checked us into a defense and it was the wrong one, if all 11 guys played it, we were good. You know, because you got 11 guys doing one thing, and we're all still working actively as one unit.
The problem comes if there's a rogue guy that's out there, and the 10 guys are like, well, wait, where's he going? And then I've got to fill his gap, and then he's got to fill my gap.
Yeah, and then there's a trust level, too, though. What I've learned, and I've been on two really good teams, obviously the Bears, we went to the Super Bowl, and then I had the privilege and honor of playing in Carolina under Coach Rivera. And our locker room was amazing. There were no egos. There were no crowds. Everybody was like one big family. And we enjoyed being around each other outside of football practice. We would go to dinners. We would hang out. And I think you need that camaraderie to build the chemistry between you guys, you know. And the more I know about you, your family, your likes, your dislikes, when we get on the field and it's a third and one or a goal line situation, yeah, I can look at you and actively say, hey, Lawrence, I trust you. You know why? Because I know you're going to make that play. And then me, it's like, man, Charles has all the faith and confidence in me right now. I do not want to let him down. If you have 11 guys that think like that, like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sacrifice and do my job and let him make the play. Like when you have selfless guys, oh man, you're scary. It's scary when all 11 guys think like that. You know, yeah, I'll be the double team. I'll take on 2 and 3 blocks so Khalil Mack will get the sack. I might not get credit. I might not get the stat, but I'm doing my job within the team. He recognizes that. My D coordinator recognizes that. My teammates recognize that. Like when you have a team that can think like that, man, it's scary. It's good. It's scary how good you can be.
You obviously played with a Hall of Fame player in Brian Urlacher. Mm-hmm. You have a chance to go to the Hall of Fame, Lance Briggs. What do you mean you're not going?
I said knock on wood.
Oh, I thought you said you're not going. I'm like, I was about to fight you.
Dude, I'm going to be like 75 when I get in, if I get in. I was going to say one. I'm going to be like 75.
I think you should go like the Ed Reed bust.
That was dope.
How great was that?
Yo. His buzz was dope.
He looked like a superhero.
That was by far out of 130. Yo, it was nice.
Yeah?
Nice. It was nice.
Because now you got the twist going a little bit. I mean, you're like, you got that look.
I think I would do it with dreads.
You think you'd have, would you have to grow it out or would you just take a picture?
I think they would take a picture, right?
Take the old picture and
because
say, can
Brian,
you do that?
His is when he's bald, right? So, yeah. I would do how people remember me when I played. I would do with the dreads. Does anybody else have dreads?
Moss didn't go in with dreads, right?
No. If I went in, if.
I'm trying to think.
I would do it with dreads if I went in. If that day should happen, God willing, whatever, I would do it with dreads. I would, you know, I would do it, you know, I don't know what year or what picture, but I would have to find a good picture and just, yo, I'm going to do this one right
here. Thinking
like
Super Bowl year era.
Yeah, that was, it was a good one.
You know, like I'm sure there's like a sideline shot of you like without your helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd probably be a good way to go.
Right.
Well, the reason I brought it up is I think that Khalil Mack is a guy that's headed in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you played with one of the greatest linebackers that ever played the game.
Right.
Actually, a couple of them. Watching Khalil Mack is like what for you?
Wow. Like, he makes everybody better. He raises the level of competition amongst his teammates. Before he got there, they had everyone there. Hakeem was there. Everybody was already there. Floyd, they were all there. But I think they just needed someone to elevate them. And it's no disrespect to any of those guys I just mentioned. I just think Khalil Mack, he's that X factor. And it made 10 other guys want to play better. I think those 10 other guys wanted to be and play on his level. And we've seen, I don't know, how many Pro Bowlers did we have this last year? Which they were all defense. You know what I'm saying? Not to take away nothing away from the offense, but yeah, they're all defensive players. I told you, man, defense wins games. Offense, y'all sell tickets. They want to put quarterbacks and running backs and receivers and don't want to give the defense no love. But I'm telling y'all, man, you can't win without a defense. Defense wins games. Offense, they sell tickets. Everybody wants to be on TV and score the big touchdown. And when you're a kid, oh, I want to be quarterback. No one wants. I want to be DB. Let me be a three technique. Yeah, this y'all can keep dissing the defense. I'm telling y'all, defense is where it's at. You can call me biased, whatever. Forget it. I don't care. Maybe I am biased because I play defense, but time and time again, I look at these defenses and throughout the league, throughout the NFL, and then marketing, you look at all the commercials. It's just defense. Look at Madden. Look at all the okay, you got Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, right? You got
99 rating.
Exact defense. Defense. Come on, man. I get frustrated. Like, Lawrence Taylor was I believe he's the only defensive player to win MVP. Why is that? They should just call the MVP an offensive player award.
And a quarterback award.
And a quarterback award. It should be a quarterback award, which I think is BS. Because you got the offensive player of the year, right? And then you have the MVP. It's like, y'all got two awards. No, MVP? No, Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald should have won MVP of the league last year.
I don't disagree with you.
In my opinion, no question that those two guys should have been MVP. And I love Patrick Mahomes, and I think he's a great quarterback and what he's done, and I hope he can duplicate, if not do better than what he did last year. But I think two defensive players should have been MVP this year or this past season.
How great is it for there to be expectations about the Bears? Like, people being excited.
People haven't felt that in a while, you know, and I hope that the team doesn't have a hangover and they start to slack off. And I've seen it. I've been a part of it. You know, you have that, they call it the Super Bowl hangover. I hope this team doesn't have that, which I don't foresee them doing it. But yeah, last year it was last year. It was gone. You got to rewrite your destiny. You know, the kick and all. Yeah, forget it. Yeah, we missed the kick. We didn't get in. We didn't go to the next round. It's all right. Now we win games in the offseason. We win games in these OTAs. That's when you win your games. You know, that's who you're going to find out who your ride or die boys are. And, yeah, I think they just have to let that go. And you have to redo it again and not live off of last year. You got to do it again. And some people can't. Well, you know, I made the Pro Bowl last year and I'm, yeah, so what? So what? Do it again. That's the hardest part about this job. Do it again. Because every year you get older, you get slower. There's a younger guy. He's a faster guy. Now, what are you going to do? I love it. Every year they used to draft cornerbacks. Not that I had anything wrong with Devin or Nate or Zach Bowman or Tim Jennings or any of the guys that they brought when I was there, but I looked at it as like, oh, they brought him to take my spot. I must be doing something wrong. Okay, so I need to up my level. I need to up the ante, and I have to play better. I have to show my own team how good I am because they want to replace me. And that was how I thought. And then once my spot was secure, I didn't really let off the throttle, but it just let me know that, yeah, I still got it. And then, you know, 13 years in, when I go to Carolina, I was like, all right, there's a lot of young dudes. They're a lot faster than me. But, yeah, maybe I might have lost a step. But you know what? I still got some knowledge. I still know the game. I know how to play this game. I know how teams attack me. I know how to attack them. Yeah, he's faster, but I'm going to put myself in position more so I don't have to work as hard. I'm going to work smarter, not harder, you know? And as I got older, I understood that, you know? And that, I think that's what led to, I don't know, a good 13-year career.
How much do you miss it?
I miss it a lot. I think I get – so you know this more than anybody, or my wife – I didn't watch football when I played.
No, you did not.
I didn't watch any football. It was boring. I was like, I do this stuff all day.
It's what you do.
It's what I do. It's like, okay, if I'm a lawyer, do I go home and watch Law and Order SVU? No, I'm done. You know what I'm saying? And now I want to go to more games. I'm trying to, you know, now I'm not trying to be on the sideline and be with the team in locker room. Like, no, that's them. I'm not a part of the team, but I enjoy it as a fan, and I look at it differently, though, because, and my daughter will tell you this, I will watch the game. We'll be at home. We'll be watching the game, and I'll see whether it's us, Bears, whoever, a defensive player makes a mistake or he gets out of his gap, and I'll try to explain it to my daughter, and she's like, I will pause the game. Make them get up. I was like, look, he has to put his hands down. He has to shuffle. And then he has to keep his outside arm free so he can take on the block. But he went inside. He gave up the dang outside. So now he didn't turn the defense back in, or he didn't turn the runner back inside the defense. That's where all his help is. I was like, babe, it's the same thing in soccer. When you play soccer, if you shuffle this way, you're giving them, no, make them go to your help. Your help is inside. Make them go back in. You know, she's like, uh-huh. Okay, Dad. Can you hit play? Like,
can we watch the game?
Can we watch the game? You're not a coach. You're done. You don't play no. And my wife's like, yeah, babe, just hit play. She hates that you can pause live TV now because I pause it all the time because I be trying to teach in a minute.
Hey, the show that I do on NBC Sports Chicago, that's, I feel like I know a little bit about the game, not a ton, because I covered it. Watching the games with Matt and Lance and Alex, oh my God. Like, the stuff that they see, like, I see stuff, and like, people will be impressed when I'm like watching a game and be like, no, that wasn't what was supposed to happen on this play. And then the commentator will be like, that wasn't what was supposed to happen on this play. And then they show the play, and I end up being right. Sitting there with those guys is like going to graduate school and learning football. I also think that it's funny. I joke about this all the time, that Lovey stuff is still like in them, because when there is a turnover or a loose ball, like, they kind of step towards the television.
You get, yeah, it's like, oh, he going, let's go, come on, peanut run behind me, get that block, yeah, go, yeah, touchdown, woo, celebrate, time to celebrate, yeah, like, it's. Look, I got chills right now.
There's like, it's so fun to watch the games with them because stuff like that happens. And, you know, Lance is for the most part kind of mellow. Mm-hmm. But I understand his switch now. Like, I didn't quite get it when I was covering you guys. Mm-hmm. I get it now because Lance is just kind of like la, 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 la until the game starts. And then when the game starts, he's 100% business and kind of scary. kind of scary.
So I'll say this about Lance. We came in together, started our first game together. Lance is not, and I don't think Lance was the best practice player. I think he would even probably tell you that.
He would.
He wasn't the best practice player. And if you graded him off of practice, you'd be like, man, what's really going on? When them lights came on Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, I don't care who you was getting smacked in the mouth. He was a different dude. He played fast. He played downhill. If I get one pick and I go to war, he's my first pick, hands down. He's my first round pick. I'm taking Lance. It was just like a switch, you know? And I was like, dang, man, this dude is just hitting dude, like just bow, just snot coming out they know. Like he just was.
There, I went to the University of Arizona. I went to go visit a family friend who lived in Tucson. And so I went to their football office. And I was like, oh, there's going to be a lot of Lance Briggs stuff here because, you know, Arizona. And they have this really cool, like, interactive screen where you can touch the player's name and then it gives you, like, a bio and pictures and videos. The one that they use for Lance is a picture of him hitting Bubba Franks, his shoulder pad into Bubba Franks' head. And Bubba Franks' head is just pulled back. And I was like, I texted it to Lance and I was like, dude, this is how they display you at the University of Arizona. He's like, damn right.
Yeah, like that's him. Like, that's a great badge of honor to carry. Like, you couldn't do that with me, man. Like, you just couldn't do that with me. I wasn't that kind of guy. And I knew it. No, I was not that kind of guy. I didn't hit like those guys. Like,
Well, you were doing other things, though, Charles.
But I'm just saying, like, I didn't possess that talent. I'm strong, but I wasn't strong like them. Like, the way he could hit people, dude, I wish I could have hit like that. Like, it just...
What's the cleanest hit that you got on someone? Were you like, woo!
I think one time, was it a solo? Because I know one time Lance and I, we played in Philly, and we hit one of the players, and we hit him so good. I was like, oh my, like I got excited. I was like, I can't believe I just did that. Like it shocked me. I'm like, man, my Wheaties, boy, my bench game is up. I just got them squats, my deadlift. Man, you suck. Cause if you let me hit you like that, man, we just destroyed the heck out of you. Let me see it's individual. Ah, man, I don't know. It's not a lot. I don't think it's a lot.
So there wasn't like you sitting on a corner blitzed where you got to get hit on a quarterback
Sean O'Hara. As much as I love him, good dude, great friend of mine. But when Devin took it back in New York, I got Sean O'Hara. Like a lineman. Anytime I could get, so I'm a little slow. And I used to love to go after the offensive lineman. Love talking trash to linemen, hitting them. All day long. Used to love it. Used to absolutely love it. I used to love to be in the cover two, and they would do a toss, and it was to my side. For the most part, I could get off of any block, or with receivers, that is. I would get off my block, and if I had to contain, or if I was the run force player or whatever, crack replace, oh, man. It's my job to turn everything back inside, and all I have to do is just take out that lineman. Oh, it's about to go down. Like, I do that all day. I used to love our heavy package or our tank personnel when they had to have – sometimes they would have the receiver, and then I would move in as, like, the extra safety, or they would bring in, like, three tight ends and two tailbacks. Oh, man. And I was the extra DB, kind of playing like a linebacker. I'm not a big dude, but – if I could play another position, I would love to play linebacker. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was dope. I used to love our, like, goal lines. All I would have to do was just sit there and read the tight end. He blocks down. I get in that gap. You know, I'm a little 200-pound DN on this play real quick. Like, that was fun. That was a blast. I used to love being in the trenches.
I enjoy talking to Charles. He's so much fun. I wish that I had, like, a camera so you can see how animated he gets when he talks about this stuff. I mean, you heard it. He's good at vocalizing it because he's a tremendous storyteller. But I love talking with him about this stuff and his approach, his whole approach to the game of football. And I'll just say that it's fun to watch Charles with his kids now because, you know, now he's full-time dad. You know, he's coach mode dad. And watching him coach his kids now is really incredible. One of the real great Chicago Bears and one of my favorite guests that we ever have here on The Score. We need to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk with Pat McGann, who is an incredible comedian who's doing some cool stuff in his house. And you need to be on his Instagram feed because everyone needs a little bit of levity and he is providing it. We'll do that next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lawrence Holmes wants to know, what you watching on TV? When the chips are down.
So we started this early last week, considering that there are no sports that are on television. We are reaching out to our friends and asking them what they're watching. It kind of serves as an opportunity for them to give some recommendations for us to talk about some things that we are collectively watching. So I wanted to reach out to Pat McGann, who, if you have not watched what's going on his Instagram feed, McGann_Pat, or on Twitter at McGannPat, you need to be. Pat is a longtime Chicago comedian who's open for the biggest names in the business. And he is now stuck because he doesn't have an audience that he can play to, except for the one in his house. He joins us now on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. What's up, Pat?
I love Al Pamani.
I do,
nothing
too.
More
they're
Chicago
great.
Than Al Pamani.
I agree with you there. What is good? First of all, how are you doing? Let's start there.
I'm doing good. I'm just in this with everybody else. How is everybody doing? It's kind of like life's a big question mark, but we're just pushing through. And I mean, we're staying healthy. That's the number one thing. And I hope that everyone else is too, just following these guidelines, but it's crazy, right? I mean, it's just like, I'm trying to navigate this along with everybody else.
For someone who is often doing gigs over the weekend and throughout the week working on material, what's this been like for you to not have an adult audience to work your stuff with?
Oh, I mean, the audience I have right now is brutal. My kids hate me when I interrupt them. They scream at me. They try and climb on me while I'm doing my stuff. No, I mean, it's all obviously ridiculous what I'm doing, but it's all I can do right now. And I really did miss doing shows. I'm just used to being on stage, and I like coming up with material, and this is just my way of staying somewhat sane. And it just kind of snowballed. I was looking for a way to connect with people, and I did this pop-up show a couple weeks ago, surprise my kids, and then I was like, I could just do this over and over. They hate it, so it's fun.
Okay, so you had the brainchild of, I got kids, I'll sit the kids down, I'll do a stand-up routine in front of them. Is this the toughest audience that you've ever had to deal with?
Probably. I mean, in its own way, yeah, because they are they're not really interested in listening to me. So in a way, it's the toughest, but it's also like they have no choice. The captive audience.
Yeah, they can't go anywhere. I'm seeing you everywhere, man. You're on Channel 9 on the morning show there. Did I hear this right? Did the Tribune like send a photographer or something to shoot outside of your house into your house?
Yes. Yeah, the Tribune sent, Chris Borelli wrote a great piece. It's in the A&E section today. And the piece he put together really blew me away. It's not just about me. It's about all the comics that are doing things right now to stay connected, stay relevant, and also lift people up, bring some laughter. Like, comedy is always going to exist. And today's whatever's going on right now in this world we're experiencing, it's just popping up in these odd places. And I happen to be one of the comics he talks about, and it's so he did come out, and a photographer as well, and we kind of talked together. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to come in the house. My neighbor, you know, the Chicago lots, I live on the south side, like Morgan Park, Beverly. We're right on top of each other. My neighbor just opened up his driveway, and the photographer and Chris Borelli, the photographer's name was John, I forget his last name, but they were both great. You know, honored the social distancing. We popped open the window, and then my kids had no clue. And they were just like unobstructed view right into our living room, and they covered it. It was pretty cool.
That is really awesome. Pat McGann joining me here on The Score. You can check him out on Twitter at McGannPat and McGann_Pat on Instagram, and you can see parts of his stand-up routine in front of his children. It's amazing video. All right, so let me get to the reason that we asked you on. When you're not working your set in front of your children, what are you watching? Like, what has you fixated television-wise?
Well, the number one thing we're watching right now as a family is we are watching The Middle. We're binging on The Middle. I never had seen the show. I'd heard about it. And, you know, my kids are 8, 6, and 5. So this is a show. Some of the stuff goes over their head, but they get enough of the jokes. They're into the show. So it's something we can all watch together. And we've been tearing off minimum 2 up to 4 episodes a night. So that's been something we've been leaning on. My wife and I just started watching Ozark. But I tell you what, I got enough anxiety in my life right now. I don't think Ozark is a great escape. It's just more anxiety.
Pat, I think that that's a really good point that you brought up. And I've been trying to tailor the way that I watch TV over the last few days, because there's some stuff that I watch that is dark and dystopian, and I'm like, I could just turn the news back on if I really want to see dark and dystopian.
Yeah.
But like I'm watching Westworld, and I'm sitting there going, so I think that what you just said actually is a good thing of people need to be cognizant of how much you can endure of some of the heavier stuff, considering that every day we are living in a very heavy time.
True. Yeah, I really, that's how I'm feeling. And I am, you know, being a comic and my life is doing shows and being around laughter. And that is kind of gone right now. And in the past, my escape would be a show like Ozark or Homeland or something like that. Now I am, for the first time in a while, seeking out comedy. Seeking out some funnier stuff. And it's funny, I know, you know, sports is not on right now, but I have been watching, you know, locally, NBC Sports they've been doing a great job putting out like the 90s Bulls games. Last week, I think CBS ran Duke Kentucky, the 92 game. I watched that with my daughter for a while. It was funny watching that with her. And when Leitner steps on, is it Timberlake? What was his name?
Yeah,
game of Pat. My daughter, like her perspective was like, "How is he still in the game? You can do that." It's like, well, yeah, a lot of people thought he should have been ejected, but wait till you see what he does at the end of the game.
Right, right. You're walking her through some of the history of it, but she's dead on. He should have been eliminated from the game. I've been doing a little bit of comedy too. I watched The Degenerates on Netflix. I thought that was really funny with all of them. And you know who I was surprised, and I took this recommendation from Soder. Taylor Tomlinson's Netflix special I thought was really, really funny. So you're a comedian. Yeah. You know funny. What specials, whether it's classic stuff or stuff that's out now, should someone who enjoys comedy seek out?
Wow. You know what? I really liked Dion Cole's special, Chicago guy. I thought that was great. I really enjoyed Wanda Sykes' special that came out maybe 6 or 7 months ago. Maybe it was a year now. I tour a lot with Sebastian Maniscalco. He's got a great special on Netflix that he shot at Radio City. Trying to think who else I've seen on the comedy special. I got, well, you mentioned Taylor Tomlinson. She is actually dating Sam Morril.
I didn't know that.
Taylor's a great comic. Sam, also a great comic. They're doing some funny stuff right now. They're doing, like, quarantine couple, and they're posting episodes of, like, the quarantine couple. Anyway, so Taylor's special is great. I totally agree with you. Sam has a special on YouTube that he self-produced, and he has been open about it online, how he shopped it to Netflix, Amazon. No one picked it up, so he put it out on his own. He's got over 1 million views, and he is a great joke writer and a tremendous comic. I'd recommend that one as well.
Can I ask you a Sebastian question?
Of course.
Okay. Your energy is very different than his on stage. So how does that work when you're opening for him? Do you ever feel like you need to match that energy? Because he's insane. Like, watching him makes me tired.
No, it's not something that I could ever. That's just not me. I'm just not. I don't have that in me. But I think I have certainly learned that bringing some, like, extra energy and being more behind some of my material or all of my material and, you know, a little bit of an act out helps, can really kind of lift jokes to another level. So I've certainly learned a lot from him, but I don't ever feel pressure or be like, oh, I got to be like, I got to match him. No, they're there to see him. And if I'm not being genuine, they're going to see right through that. I just do me. And, you know, being with him, what I've learned is the venues that we're doing. I mean, I've gotten to do arenas with this guy. We did Madison Square Garden. We did a show at the United Center. He's selling out arenas. And you do have to fill those spaces. You do have to kind of bring it a little bit when you're doing a theater versus a more intimate club. But I'm not going to match what he's doing. He's like an acrobat up there.
No, there's no doubt about it. Like it's fun to watch him because you're like, how is he doing all of this and still not sounding out of breath and still hitting all of the jokes, like all of that stuff. He must be in great shape.
Well, he's in good shape, but it's also like, you know, his knee was bothering him recently, maybe like 7-8 months ago. We were on the road and he was like talking about how his knee was bugging him. And I was like, well, that's a major issue for you. Like for me, if I had some knee pain, I could just still do my thing, you know? Like he has to prepare almost like an athlete. And he does, you know, he's really big on stretching and staying in shape. And, you know, he has to do that.
Money aside, the gate aside, let's put the gate aside. What's the perfect venue for you? If you were saying I can do comedy in this type of venue for the rest of my life, would it be a 60-seat place or a place like the Chicago Theater or a place like the United Center?
You know, doing the shows with him, I feel like I've now done just about every type of venue. And I really love a theater that's maybe like 1,500 to 2,000 seats with no center aisle, like just on top of you. And like at the time of vaudeville, they built a lot of these theaters all throughout the country that are like one balcony, 1,500 to 1,800 seats. And those places are just like, it's bananas. Like we did the Coronado in Rockford. That was incredible. Realistically, though, like I got to do the Vic. I taped a special at the Vic in September, and that was like one of the best nights ever. But clubs, I really love the comedy clubs, and we got Zany's in Rosemont, which was the only Zany's that was actually built to be a comedy club. The original down in Wells was like a nightclub; it was a strip club actually, and then they kind of converted it into a comedy club. Those clubs are, for me, that's what I love. If I could do like Zany's Rosemont forever, that type of room, the way that's built out is pretty perfect.
All right, so I gave you a little bit of time on this. Now I'm going to go back to this. You gave me some current ones. What's a classic comedy hour that I should seek out while we're doing the social distancing?
A comedy hour that, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to drop anyone that people have not heard of if I just answer that quickly. But let me turn you on to a Chicago comic that I love and that does not, he needs to be on everyone's radar. Kevin Bozeman is a monster. He is one of the funniest guys in the country, no doubt. I could give you guys names of people that have hours on Netflix or Amazon, but I'm going to tell you to check out Kevin Bozeman.
Okay. All right. I'm seeing some of his stuff right here. I will check out Kevin Bozeman. Pat, this was delightful, man. I'm really it makes me smile when I see your stuff pop up on my Twitter feed or I see you on TV. Thank you so much for doing it. Even though you were in front of the harshest critics that you've ever faced in your career, your own children, I appreciate you getting your reps in and sharing them with the world.
I appreciate what you're doing, Lawrence. I appreciate you helping everybody push through these days. And you're a guy that I think of when I think about Chicago and where we're all at right now. So I appreciate you having me on and everyone listening. This will all be over soon.
Hopefully. Wait, before I let you go, when the White Sox come back and play, what's the first thing you're going to order at the ballpark?
I'm going to get a Cuban.
Get the Cuban.
The Minnie Minoso Cuban? The comic?
Yes.
What's I'm trying to think of her name. Who works the stand? I'm blanking on her name. Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to get. Now you got me jonesing for Cuban.
I know, right? Like, I've been thinking about the ballpark food over the last couple of days.
What's your go-to?
I'm the street taco. Like, that's become my new thing, that I'm a street taco and a churro, and I'm usually pretty happy. But I just got my grill a few days ago, and I think that if the weather stays like this, like even it being like 50 degrees and sunny, I think I'm going to grill tonight.
Oh, man, I've been grilling out like crazy. I think I'm low on propane. That's all. That's like I had a conversation with my grill last night. It's my Wilson.
There are worse things to have a conversation with. That is fantastic. All right, Pat, be good, man. Thanks for jumping on the show.
All right, thanks, Lawrence. Take care.
That's Pat McGann, Chicago comedian. Follow him on Twitter at McGann Pat. Follow him on Instagram at McGann_Pat. You will not be disappointed with the stand-up routines that he's doing in front of his children, I promise. Back after this on The Score. I was listening to X-Plan's sample of this. That song always makes me laugh. It's like, do you remember Herbie, do you remember that video with X-Clan, where it was just like, wow, this is super Afrocentric?
Yeah, it was great.
It really was.
Early 90s when Afrocentrism was like at its height.
What's the line? I guess I'm blacker than the shadow in the darkest alley that they're always scared to go in. Boo. I love it. Oh, I love when you hit those type of bump backs for us here on the show. By the way, you heard me and Pat talking a little bit about the White Sox, because he's a big Sox fan, Beverly guy, lives in Beverly. I had a conversation. It's on LoHo Daily. Yeah, I'm still doing that. So I talked with Alyssa Bergamini, who is the host at White Sox games. Like, she's the in-stadium host. And we now work together. She does High School Lights over at NBC Sports Chicago. Delightful young lady. And we had a great conversation about the White Sox. Like, she went in and it was fantastic, and we did it via Zoom. So I was sitting there, like, I was in my office, like, she's there in her room, and she has a shrine of White Sox stuff that is second to none. Bobbleheads, signed baseballs, all sorts of memorabilia, all sorts of White Sox swag. It was a really cool experience. So if you are desperately missing your White Sox and a little bit of White Sox chatter, I highly recommend that you check out LoHo Daily with Alyssa. It's good stuff. She's got a ton of energy, and that's exactly the type of person that you want to sit back and talk with. We had a good time. We talked for like 20 minutes about just like going to Sox games and how we're both looking forward to at some point going back to White Sox games. So it's worth your time. Let me take a look at a couple of the text messages that have come in. And Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. You can text the show at 670-11. Someone co-signing what Pat had to say about Kevin Bozeman. I just looked on Twitter. I think that Kevin and I have a lot of mutual friends, like actual friends. So I'm looking forward to catching up on his work. I'm sure I've seen him. I'm sure I've seen him on Hellum's, one of his shows. I'm sure I have, but I don't remember it. So I'm going to go take a look at his work. This texter says, when you said you got a new grill, I thought you were talking about your teeth. It will turn 68 tomorrow and love sports and listening to the score. No grill for me. I'm not Paul Wall. Like, you got to keep that stuff for Layla Rahimi. That's what she's all about. She's all about that old school Houston thing that they have going on. Get the grill. No, but that would never be me. That's a lot of money to be spending on a grill. This segment, I already said Denny's, right? If you're someone who loves Denny's, you might have to order my parents some Denny's since they're delivering. I might do that for them this weekend. Ma, I know you're listening, so just text me if you want me to order you guys Denny's this weekend. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including healthcare professionals. Thank you for keeping us safe. I really like those reads. Like, that's a way to tailor advertising. That's a master class of it by the folks in Northwestern. And thanks to the people who clean up after all of us and clean up after the folks that work in hospitals and triage centers and everything else. Because they're really putting themselves at risk and a lot of times not doing it for nearly enough wages. But thank you to them, and thank you to you for listening as we all try to keep each other normal. We'll be back for another show. My mother did text and says that they would like some Denny's, so I'm going to order them some Denny's and have them deliver it this weekend. I wonder what my father will order. Anyway, have a wonderful rest of your day. I'll be back at noon tomorrow. Thanks for listening. McNeil and Parkins are going to have Tom Doerr and Tom Thayer on the show. So if you like good old-fashioned stories about sports, you got two of the really good storytellers coming up on their show next here on The Score.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.